I heard someone else ring in.
Good evening. Truly, this is the day the Lord has made, and I am rejoicing, and I am glad in it. Good evening, family.
Hey.
Good evening.
Number three, HBCU, Tuskegee. Congratulations.
To God be the glory.
Hope you're all right there.
Sounds like it. Sounds like something going on.
All right. Well, good evening, everybody. It is September the 24th. Birthday of my mother and my little bossy baby girl, Clarice. It is 7:02 p.m. and we're ready for our walk in the Word this evening. Welcome to the 3T and the E. Preaching, prayer, praise, and equipping by teaching in accordance with Matthew 28:19-24. So, on the behalf of Gathering Place Beyond the Wall, Gates of Prayer, the Enlightenment Ministry, Out of the Box, and there's the end of scriptures. I minister man with you. Welcome to our walk in the Word. I have an urge we can percolate our own. So, Pastor Kuiper, will you open us up with prayer and be followed by our song, and then we will have our walk in the Word.
Amen. Hallelujah. Father God, we thank you, Father, for this opportunity to be gathered on this line tonight. Father, we
come lifting up your holy name because you're worthy of our praise. Father, we thank you for the activities of this day. I pray, Lord, that all of the saints that are on this line tonight have been victorious today, that they know that they're triumphant in their lives, and we're more than conquerors through you because you loved us. Father, we thank you, Father, for the many blessings upon our lives. We thank you for the healing that you have brought to us through the blood of Jesus. Father, we thank you, Father, for the lives that we live to bring glory and honor to your name. And when we gather together as we do tonight, we come, Father, expecting to receive something from your word tonight. We also come, Father, to lift up your name in praise. So we give praise, honor, and glory to your name tonight. For you worthy, Father. You are Jehovah Jireh, the Lord that provided. So we thank you for having provided for us. You are Jehovah Shammah. You're always there. You never leave us, nor do you ever forsake us, oh God. So we thank you for that. Father, you're Jehovah Tiskanu. You are our righteousness. And we thank you, Father, for making us right with you, Father. We thank you, Father, for all that you've done for us and through us and in us. For, Father, we are your workmanship. You're shaping and molding us into the vessels of honor that we should be. Wherever we're along this journey, Father, with you, we're constantly growing in our faith and our belief that you're with us. So, Father, we ask that you bless us tonight. Holy Spirit, we ask your presence tonight to guide, direct, and teach us to reveal the truth of your word. Let we put it into our lives, into action, so that we can be the people of God that you have called us to be. We thank you, we glorify you, and we pray that whatever we do tonight would be pleasing and acceptable in your sight, that you would receive it because you are our strength and our redeemer. So, Father, we thank you. To glory, to God be the glory tonight. We ask this prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Is Sister Milton on? Good evening. Welcome, caller. Is Sister Milton on? All right, here we go. Touch me, oh, thank great Jehovah, heaven to give
Deacon Connor for that hymn. Hallelujah. I love Jesus.
Yes,
I do. I love Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord.
Yes,
hallelujah.
Yes.
God bless you. God bless you, brother. God bless you, saints on the line tonight. We just thank you for calling in tonight as we continue our walk in the word tonight. Hallelujah. Holy Spirit, help us tonight. As we walk through the book of Romans, we are in chapter 11. Amen. And chapter 11 is an awesome chapter, as we have gone through previous chapters that deal with the same basic concern that the apostle had for his people, Israel. So we thank God for his fervor, his heartfelt concerns for his people, but not only his people, but also the Gentile believers that were at Rome. I ask you tonight, as we focus on this, just give me a few seconds. We'll recap a little bit from chapter 10 as we move into chapter 11. We want you to be thinking about the people that Paul is talking to. We want you to be focused on what he's saying to us, because whatever he's saying to the church at Rome applies to us today. So we want to receive those nuggets. We want to hear what the Spirit has to say through the Word of God tonight. Last week, we walked through chapter 10, and we heard the heartfelt concern that Apostle Paul had for his fellow Israelites. He knew a lot of them were struggling to believe that Jesus was the Messiah. As a matter of fact, there was a growing group of Christians in the area of Rome that were Jewish. Of course, there were Gentile believers there, and the majority of the church was probably Gentile believers. But there was still a growing number of Jews who were accepting Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. And we know as we began our study, as we began our journey, we looked at the background of that, realizing that there was conflict a lot of times between those that were newly converts that were Gentiles and Jewish, and how they were looking at the law and the things that God was talking about. But even though many of them were converting, there still was a group of them that were not receiving this gospel of Jesus Christ as the Messiah, one that had died for their sins, buried in a grave, and rose again with all power in his hands. Many of them struggled to believe in Christ, to know that he's the way, the truth, and the life, and no one can come to God the Father except for by him. Most of the Jews then and now hold fast to the law as their way to try to obtain righteousness before God. But the Apostle Paul is telling us, and it's written to the church at Rome, he tells them that Christ is the culmination of the law so that there may be righteousness for everyone who believes on Jesus. Anyone who believes in and relies on Christ, who was the precious cornerstone, will never be ashamed. They will never be stricken with panic. They will be confident and assured of their salvation. And the Jew or Gentile will be blessed by calling on the name of the Lord. We know that anyone that calls upon the name of the Lord will be saved. We must tell everyone, especially the Jews, the gospel of Jesus Christ. Not all will accept the good news, but we need to tell them anyway. They will hear it. God is waiting to receive them if they repent and believe. Some of them will respond to the gospel and confess with their mouths and believe in their hearts that Jesus is Lord and God has raised him from the dead. Then they will be saved. Hallelujah. So as we look forward to this week's lesson, this week's journey through the chapter 11, this is session 11 in our journey. So as we look at chapter 11, we see the Apostle Paul and his desire for the church at Rome, for his fellow Israelites, that they all would be saved. In the text message that I sent, there are notes. As I had my thoughts and I shared those thoughts, I hope that you had an opportunity to read those prior to tonight to try to set the tone for what we're going to do. But what we're going to do now is I know that Dr. Deb is on the line, and she will be our reader for this evening. And she's going to read as we walk through this chapter. Let us be mindful of the different people, like I said, and what he's telling them. Let us be mindful of the remnant that he speaks about. Let us be mindful of who we are in this text, as we are Gentile believers. Let us be mindful of all of those things so we can let the word speak to us, so that we can talk about this and share with one another what God expects of how God sees us as we travel along our journey as believers. So, Dr. Deb, I'll turn it over to you to take us into the scripture text of chapter 11 as you see fit. Dr. Deb.
Amen. I want to say good evening to each of you, and thank you again for joining with us in our walk in the Word this evening from Romans. Pastor Reggie, if you don't mind, I'd like to go over to Philippians chapter 3 and look at verse number 5 as we talk about Paul tonight and talk about his care and his compassion that he has for his brothers and his sisters. And I think this may lay a foundation for us tonight as well. Philippians chapter 3, we want to give some time for you to get there. We know you're there in Romans, but Philippians chapter 3, starting with verse number 5, and we are talking about Paul, the penman of Romans, who we will be speaking about on tonight. And here's what it says, and here's what he says about himself. Verse number 5, I was circumcised when I was 8 days old, and I am from the nation of Israel and the tribe of Benjamin. I am a true Hebrew. As a Pharisee, I strictly obeyed the law of Moses. And I was so eager that I even made trouble for the church. I did everything the law demands in order to please God. But I want us to focus and look at verse number 7. It says, but Christ has shown me that what I once thought was valuable is worthless. Nothing is as wonderful as knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. I have given up everything else and count it all as garbage. All I want is Christ and to know that I belong to him. I could not make myself acceptable to God by obeying the law of Moses. God accepted me simply because of my faith in Christ. All I want is to know Christ and the power that raised him to life. I want to suffer and die as he did, so that somehow I also may be raised to life. This is Paul's life, you all. He talks about his prior life, trying to obey the law of Moses. But he realized it was not that which he had to do. He realized it was his faith in Christ Jesus. He says it, God accepted me simply because of my faith in Christ. Now, let us go over to Romans chapter 11, reading from the Amplified Version on tonight. We just want to kind of set that as a foundation again about the penman of Romans and how he described himself and how he lets us know that he was once in the same situation, trying to strictly obey the law of Moses, but he realized that was not the way to Christ, to the Messiah. Romans chapter 11, beginning with verse number 1. I ask then, has God totally rejected and disowned his people? Of course not. Why? I myself am an Israelite, a descendant of Abraham, a member of the tribe of Benjamin, which we just read in Philippians chapter 3. Verse 2, no, God has not rejected and disowned his people, whose destiny he had marked out and appointed and foreknown from the beginning. Do you not know what the scripture says of Elijah? How he pleads with God against Israel? Lord, they have killed your prophet. They have demolished your altars. And I alone am left, and they seek my life. Look at verse number 4, you all. But what is God's reply to him? That means to Elijah. I have kept for myself 7,000 men who have not bowed the knee to Baal. And you all can, we can find that reference in 1 Kings chapter 19, verse 18. Verse 5. So too, at the present time, there is a remnant, a small believing minority, selected, chosen by grace, by God's unmerited favor and graciousness. Verse 6. But if it is by grace, his unmerited favor and graciousness, it is no longer conditioned on works or anything men have done. Otherwise, grace would no longer be grace. It would be meaningless. Pastor Reggie, you want me to continue?
Go ahead to verse number 10.
Okay, sir. Verse 7, what then shall we conclude? Israel failed to obtain what it sought, God's favor by obedience to the law. Only the elect, those chosen few, obtained it, while the rest of them became callously indifferent, blinded, hardened, and made insensible to it. As it is written, God gave them a spirit, an attitude of stupor, eyes that should not see, and ears that should not hear, that has continued down to this very day. And David says, let their table, their feasting, their banqueting, become a snare and a trap, a pitfall and a just retribution, rebounding like a boomerang upon them. Verse number 10, let their eyes be darkened, meaning dimmed, so that they cannot see, and make them bend their back, stooping beneath their burden forever. I read verses 1 through 10 in your hearing this evening as we continue to look at the children of Israel. Pastor Reggie.
Amen. Amen, Dr. Deb. As we heard this text being read, saints, I want you to feel the passion and the concern that Paul has for Israel. As he had ended chapter 10 and he was quoting scripture there, and he was talking to them from Isaiah 65 and 2, and he was telling that God is always holding out his hands. He all day long, he held out his hand to a disobedient and obstinate people. But Paul wants them to know that God did not reject them. No. And he understood this heritage that he had as an Israelite, as Dr. Dev read from Philippians, as he was talking to them from prison from that letter, as he talks to Rome in this letter. I'm one of you, a descendant of Abraham from the tribe of Benjamin. He's given his credibility as one of them. I understand how you feel about your heritage, but God did not reject the Israelites. He did not reject the Jews. He said, don't you know that the scripture talked about with Elijah? Elijah felt that he was all alone. He saw the corruption that was going on in Judah, in Israel. He prophesied to Israel. Y'all know when he was at Mount Carmel, he called down fire from heaven. And then because they had the other gods, Baal, that they were worshiping, he felt after he ran away from Jezebel, threatened to take his life, after he ran, he got to a place and he was talking to God. You know, God wasn't in the thunder and the noise. He came in a still, small voice, a quiet whisper to him. He talked to Elijah. Elijah tell God that I'm the only one left. There's nobody else that's true to you, God, in Israel. But God always reminds us that there's a remnant, always of people who are true to God. Are we true to God in the midst of all this stuff that we see going on in our country today, in America, all that we know that's going on in the world? Are we true to God? God wants to know that are we true to him. But even if you feel that you're the only one, or there's not enough of us, there's always a remnant that God has. Yes, he wanted him to know that. God spoke to him. There are thousands, 7,000, who have not bowed their knee to Baal. Oh, yes, let's don't bow our knees to the world worship of idols and things like that, that God knows is not good for us. He told them. He said that this present time, that remnant is chosen by grace. It's by grace that he chooses the remnant. And if by grace, then it cannot be based on works. There it is. He's letting them know it's not based on their keeping of the law, but on the grace of God. And if it were, grace would no longer be grace. If it's by works, then it can't be by grace. You know, some preachers will preach it this way, by grace alone. We're saved by grace through our faith, not by works. It's a gift of God, lest any man should boast about it. So we're saved by faith, by grace through our faith. He wanted them to know. He said, well, what the people of Israel sought so earnestly, they could not obtain it through the keeping of the law. The elect among them did, but the others were hardened. So some of them came to Christ, but some of them, their hearts were hardened against Christ. We know that when we read the scripture, it was the Jews that had an issue with Jesus. They had problems with him and said that he was a blasphemer. They talked about him being Beelzebub. They had a problem with it. They hardened their hearts against him, even to the point that they wanted to take his life. God gave them this spirit of stupor. He gave them this spirit that they could not hear the truth and receive the truth, that their eyes could not see what was right before their eyes, their Messiah. And even David said that they make their table becomes a snare and a trap. The very thing that they do in their religion becomes a trap to them, a stumbling block and a retribution. Christ, the Messiah, they couldn't receive him. Their eyes were darkened so that they could not see, for their backs were forever bent. So he's quoting from different parts of the Old Testament for which they should be familiar with. Yes, Elijah from Kings, chapter 19. From Deuteronomy, chapter 29, he's speaking with them. And when he talks to them about these different things, he's sharing these different things to them from Isaiah, chapter 29, and then from Psalms 69, verses 22 and 23. So he's sharing these things, and he knows it's sparking their attention because they know what the word is saying, letting them know that they're blinded by this. They're rejecting him. He didn't want them to reject it. He's letting them know that God has not forsaken them. No, God has not rejected them. They rejected him. That's the key here. They rejected him. We know there will be people who will reject our Savior when we give them the good news. There were many who will say no to him, but they must be willing to open their hearts to see and hear the good news and receive it so that they might be saved. Dr. Deb, do you have any additional thoughts on this text?
Pastor Reggie, the comment that I have is this, and the Holy Spirit just dropped this in my spirit, is that Paul's desire was for them to come alive to this free gift of grace. for them to understand again that it was not the keeping of the law, as we read in Philippians chapter 3, looking at verse 5, he lets them know that he was one of the major keepers of the law and trying to please God, but realize it was not the keeping of the law, but it is grace, that unmerited gift. And not only Paul was sharing this with his brothers and sisters, but we must share with ours as well, those that do not know Christ as their personal Savior. We are extensions of God's hands. We are an extension of his eyes. We are an extension of his feet. And right here in this scripture, I see Matthew 28, 19 through 20. That we have to be that remnant that is a carrier of this grace, of this mercy. And we have to be like Paul. Paul, we have to tell others, I once was lost, but now I'm found. I was blind, but now I see. We have to be transparent and let others know that this grace is not through performance, is not through how much we can give, how much we can do, but it's through this free gift of God called grace. It is through our faith. It is through our trusting in him. And that's what Paul said. This is the way to come alive. This is the way to receive this free gift. But again, it speaks to me tonight that I am to be like Paul. Is I have to stay on this wall, and I have to keep giving correct information on how to be saved. Because too many times there's misinformation that's being put out there saying you got to work for your salvation. You got to do these things so that you can be saved. But Paul continues to make the rubber meet the road on this is how you are saved. This is how you can receive this free gift of grace, this mercy that he speaks of. So that's my comment as I continue to read these scriptures and how he continues to open it up and show his transparency, meaning that I have to be transparent with others to say, here is where I once was, but because of this amazing grace, I've been found, and I now can see. So again, the other point I want to make, Pastor Reggie, is this. Is that many times we look at how big the numbers are. And that's what Elijah was looking at, like, there is nobody. I'm out here by myself. I want us to know tonight on this line, we are never alone as children of God. He has placed inside of us the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. And I don't care where you are. You are never alone. He said in Hebrews 13 and 5, you're never alone. So even in the midst of Elijah going through what he was going through, or feeling what he was feeling, we as disciples of Christ must understand that God has a remnant. And it's not how large the group is, but what the focus of that group is, the purpose of that group, and the mission of that group as well. So thank you for allowing me to share, Pastor Reggie.
Amen. Amen. So powerful. So powerful, those thoughts that you had, Dr. Deb. We just thank God for that. And we want to know, and like I said, the emphasis that I keep placing on this is that Israel is not forgiven. Because sometimes we think about Israel today. No, God didn't reject them. They rejected him. Amen. And Dr. Deb, if you will, if you read the next section, we want to go to verse number 24.
Verse 24. Okay, we'll do it, sir. And if you don't mind, amen. We started out in the Amplified. We're going to pick up and start reading from the Contemporary English Version as well. We're kind of going back and forth to bring even more clarity to the word on tonight about coming alive to this free gift. The next section as we look at it speaks to the Gentiles will be saved, beginning with verse number 11. Do I mean that the people of Israel fail never to get up again? Certainly not. Their failure made it possible for the Gentiles to be saved. And this will make the people of Israel jealous. But if the rest of the world's people were helped so much by Israel's sin and loss, they will be helped even more by their full return. I am now speaking to you, Gentiles, and as long as I am an apostle to you, I will take pride in my work. I hope in this way to make some of my own people jealous enough to be saved. When Israel rejected God, the rest of the people in the world were able to turn to him. So when God makes friends with Israel, it would be like bringing the dead back to life. If part of a batch of dough is made holy by being offered to God, then all of the dough is holy. If the roots of a tree are holy, the rest of the tree is holy too. You Gentiles are like branches of a wild olive tree that were made to be part of a cultivated olive tree. Notice the contrast. You have taken the place of some branches that were cut away from it. And because of this, you enjoy the blessings that come from being part of that cultivated tree. But don't think you are better than the branches that were cut away. Just remember that you are not supporting the roots of the tree. It's roots that are supporting you. Maybe you think those branches were cut away so that you could be put in their place. That's true enough. But they were cut away because they did not have faith. And you are where you are because you do have faith. So don't be proud, but be afraid. If God cut away those natural branches, could not he do the same to you? Now, you see both how kind and how hard God can be. He was hard on those who failed, but he was kind to you, and he will keep on being kind to you if you keep on trusting in his kindness. Otherwise, you will be cut away too. Let's look at what verse 23 says. If those other branches will start having faith, I'm going to say that again. If those other branches will start having faith, they will be made a part of that tree again. God has the power to put them back. Verse 24, after all, it was not natural for branches to be cut from a wild olive tree and to be made part of a cultivated olive tree. So it is much more likely that God will join the natural branches back to the cultivated olive tree. Amen. Amen. Gentiles will be saved. Pastor Reggie.
Amen. That's powerful. That is powerful. So much is here. And we think about Paul letting them know that the Israelites did stumble. Yes, they stumbled. Maybe they even failed. But they were not beyond redemption. Oh, my goodness. Yeah. This is a good news that they weren't beyond redemption even in their disbelief. No, they did transgress. They did have this thing. When they did that and they rejected him, it opened up the gospel to be shared even more with the Gentiles. We know that in the early church, just about everybody in Jerusalem that were saved were Jewish believers. We know that salvation is of the Jews. Jesus came out of this root. So we look at this and we see that salvation came to the Gentiles. As we know, as we're reading the book of Acts, as we're going through the journey, we see Peter going to Cornelius' house, sharing the gospel with this Gentile soldier. His family gets saved. So now there's a crack in the door. But as persecution came from the other Jews and the Romans, and everybody began to persecute them, they began to scatter. Even Paul was part of the persecution arm, but yet he had a change on the road to Damascus. And in his change, he realized that he was wrong. So he was one who was delivered from the fire. So Paul moves forward being anointed as the apostle to the Gentile. Yes, he became the apostle to the Gentile. We can say Peter was primarily the apostle to the Jews. But Paul takes this on, and we began to see him on his journeys to share the gospel of Jesus Christ, trying to make sure that all that were Jews, as you know, when he came to a town, he came to a city, he would go to the synagogue first because it was for them. The Messiah had come. It was for them. And yet they still rejected it. Some received and some rejected him. Paul was still making sure as he was sharing it that Gentiles would be saved. So by them being cut off from the roof, they were cut off from the olive tree, from the stump. But he wants the Gentiles to know that he's talking to them too, not just to his fellow Israelites. He wanted them to understand that he took pride in his ministry to them too, because the gospel was for everyone. It's for everybody, every creature, regardless of what their background is. It is open to them if they but have faith. For it is through that grace of God that they are saved by their faith and their belief in Jesus. And because they were brought in, there's a reconciliation to the world because of the rejection that the Israelites had or the Jews had toward this good message. And so the illustration here is about the olive tree. Yes, in Israel today, they have these olive trees. They can live from anywhere from 100 to 1,000 years old. They have them in Israel today. And they have this trunk that's about 10 to 12 feet in diameter. These are big trees. And these trees on the inside is hollow inside. Yet they still have nutrients in this root that can produce branches that produce the olives that they want to produce. And so every now and then, those branches that were connected to the root became bad. They became useless. And they would be cut off by the farmer. The farmer would cut off the bad branches, and then he would take a young, tender, good branch, and then he would cut into the root where he had cut off the old branch and make a sort of like a V-shaped design. And then he would take the branch and cut it into a point, and then he would put that young, good, tender branch into that stump to where he had cut into the old branch area. And he would put it there, and then he would wrap it up, and it would begin to grow to produce olives. He would do that with all the bad branches, cut them off, put the new ones in. That illustration is that of the Israelites who rejected Christ and the Gentiles who received him. So they began to produce their olives. And by the way, because of this process, it could be different olives that could be grown. So regardless of what country, nationality that we have in the world today, even here in this here United States, all these different people coming from all parts of the world to be a part of this country, we should be here preaching to them the gospel of Jesus Christ. Yes, there's politics. Yeah, there are things that's going on in the country. But our job, our role is to be Matthew chapter 28:19-28 believers sharing the gospel with the world. So let's let that be our focus. And so we see that they, that olive branch, so it grows from that root. They've been grafted in. So we have been given salvation by a gift. We've been gifted by the Holy Spirit to go forth, and we've been grafted into the root. I love it, Dr. Dale, when it was talking, it was letting them know, yeah, you don't, that the root don't depend on you. You depend on the root. And the root is Israel, the root of Jesse, David, all of them, they are the root. Israel is the root that produces the other branches and produces the fruit of the olive. So they must know that they are relying on the root of this gospel, the root of this God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. They have to consider this and not become so haughty of themselves that they're looking down on the Jews who rejected him, because there is hope for them in the future. Yes, there's hope that these bones can come alive again. There's hope that Israel would once turn to Christ and be saved. It's hope for all of Israel that they can come and receive him. Yes, we see all the stuff that's happening, and many of them still rejecting him. But we should contend to let them know that Jesus is their Messiah. He's our Messiah. He is alive. We know that he is alive because he lives in us. They must know this, not to walk by sight, but by faith in believing what this message is. Yes, being grafted in. He's letting them know that if he would allow the Gentiles to be grafted in, how much more does he love his covenant people that he wouldn't reach out to bring them back into the fold? Yes, there's a day that they can return back to them. And so when we're sharing this gospel to people, we are Gentiles, we should be thankful for this ministry that he's given us, a ministry of reconciliation. Yes, a ministry of reconciliation to God through the root of Abraham. And because we've been grafted in, we've been grafted in to receive the inheritance that they have. We are one. We are connected with them. We are part of the same root now with the Israelites who have received Jesus Christ by faith, not by works. And this is who we are. Dr. Deb, it's so powerful. It's so powerful when I read it and see what it's saying. Do you have any other thoughts that you want to share with us about that passage of text? Amen.
I would tell you, Pastor Reggie, what I saw here is I had to go back over to John 15. And as it talks to us about being connected to that true vine, being connected to Jesus Christ, him being that vine, and knowing that we have a gardener as well. But Paul also, he tells the Gentiles, he says, here's how you stay connected. Like you said, you know, he reminds them, don't you look down on them. Don't you boast. Don't you get pride because of where you are. But he tells them, I saw it in these verses, how to stay connected, because he speaks to us tonight as to how we stay connected to the true vine. He tells them here in the word, you got to trust. You got to T-R-U-S-T. You got to put your trust in it, and you must have faith. And that's what he says to us today, how we stay connected to the true vine, how we stay connected to Jesus, understanding that we are branches that is connected to the nourishment that is necessary and needed for us to walk as disciples. If I stay connected to the true vine, then I receive again the biblical principles, the biblical truth that is necessary and needed to help me walk in this life in terms of my conduct, in terms of my speech, in terms of my faith, in terms of my love, and in terms of my purity. He reminds them too, Pastor Reggie, is that there are blessings. But there is blessing since you have been grafted into. But we as disciples of Christ must understand our purpose. We must understand our place and that we are where we are, who we are connected to. And understand we are not the root. We are not the vine. We have to understand our position, our role, our purpose. I'm a branch connected to the true vine. I'm connected to something that is living and live on the inside of me. And there are some blessings that is attached to me because I have been grafted in. And I'm so glad, y'all, that tonight that I can say I've been grafted in. I can say tonight that I'm a part of that cultivated tree. I can say tonight that I know without a shadow of a doubt who I'm connected to and how I can stay connected to him. Thank you, Brother Reggie.
Yeah. Dr. Deb, I'm so glad that I've been grafted in. I'm so glad I'm connected to the vine. Ooh, we should be excited about that. We are grafted in. We're connected to the true vine, and we got to rest in that vine to produce that fruit. God bless
you,
Dr. Deb.
Amen. And Pastor Reggie, too, we have to understand the blessings are there. But there's a responsibility on our part. Too many times we want the blessings of God, but we don't want the blesser, and we don't want the responsibility. This text tonight speaks to us as disciples of Christ that there is a responsibility here, a responsibility to share the message, to share this grace, to share this mercy, to share this salvation plan. My responsibility as a disciple, I want the blessings of God, but I have a responsibility to help others come alive to this free gift, as I said earlier, this free gift of this unmerited favor of grace. So we cannot walk through this world saying, I got the blessings over here, but not have a responsibility because we are going to stand before God. And when we stand before God, I asked this question last week, if you don't have but 2 more hours to live, what are you going to do in those 2 hours? You don't have but 2 hours to live where you're sitting at. What would you do with those 2 hours? People say, well, I'll call my family or I'll do this or I'll reach out to my mom or my dad. I said, well, guess what? Why don't you do it now? My question, and I put it back on us tonight as disciples, as us, as Paul. As Paul speaks to them and reminding them how they were grafted in, we got a responsibility to be able to share with others how they too can be grafted into God, how they can experience these blessings, but also understand there's a responsibility that goes along with it.
Hallelujah, Dr. Deb. I like that word, responsibility. We have a responsibility to love our neighbors as ourselves. And if we have received this beautiful gift of God, surely we want to share it with somebody. And you talked about accountability at the end. I don't want to face the Lord and he said, well, you had your family. Did you tell them about me? Did you have your friends that you say you care about? Did you tell them about me? Did you have the people in your community that you said you wanted to be better? Did you tell them about me? Ooh, we got a responsibility. Dr. Deb, you said something on that. God bless you. God bless you. I'm going to stop because we're trying to go. Hallelujah. Thank you, Dr. Deb. Hallelujah. Do we want to move on forward to try to read the rest of this, Dr. Deb? Or you got more thoughts you want to share?
I think we can. I think we're going to get there. Pick it up with verse 25. Continue to read from the Contemporary English Version. And we now move towards the people of Israel will be brought back. The people of Israel will be brought back. Beginning with verse 25. My friends, I don't want you Gentiles to be too proud of yourselves. So I will explain the mystery of what has happened to the people of Israel. Some of them have become stubborn. That's a note to make tonight. He says, let me tell you about them. Some of them have become stubborn, and they will stay like that until the complete number of you Gentiles have come in. And this way, all of Israel will be saved, as the scriptures say. From Zion, someone will come to rescue us. Then Jacob's descendants will stop being evil. This is what the Lord has promised to do when he forgives their sin. Verse 28, the people of Israel are treated as God's enemies, so that the good news, you all, can come to you Gentiles. But they are still chosen ones. Paul is telling them, he says, I want you to understand what's going on here. But they are still the chosen ones, and God loves them because of their famous ancestors. God does not take back the gifts he has given or forget about the people he has chosen. At one time, you Gentiles rejected God, but now Israel has rejected God, and you have been shown mercy. And because of the mercy shown to you, they will also be shown mercy. All people have disobeyed God. I'm going to say that again. All people have disobeyed God. And that's why he treats them as prisoners. But he does this. He does this, you all, so that he can have mercy on all of them. Verse 33. Who can measure the wealth and wisdom and knowledge of God? Who can understand his decision or explain what he does? Has anyone known the thoughts of the Lord or given him advice? Has anyone loaned something to the Lord that must be repaid? Everything, verse number 36, you all, everything comes from the Lord. All things were made because of him and will return to him. Praise the Lord forever. Amen. This completes the reading of Romans chapter 11 on tonight.
Ooh.
Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Listen, saints. Listen, this section right here, as we're culminating this part of it, as he's talking to them, he didn't want them to be ignorant about what was going on, this mystery, something that was God's purpose to bless the Gentiles also with salvation through Christ. He started with the Jews, but he opened it up to the Gentiles. He said, don't be ignorant. It's a mystery. We don't quite understand it. It may not even make sense to us. But you don't want to be conceited and look down on anybody, because all can be saved if they would but believe in Jesus Christ. And so while Israel is experiencing, some of them are experiencing this hardening of the heart, there will be a full number of Gentiles that are going to come in. And when that is done, yes, when that is completed, all Israel will be saved. He reminds us that the deliverer comes out of Zion. Yes, the deliverer comes out of Zion. That comes out of Isaiah chapter 59. God is speaking to them. Paul is talking about what the Old Testament was saying, and the mystery is revealed in the New Testament through Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. He's letting them and reminding them that they had a covenant with God. Yes, He had a covenant with them that he was going to put his laws into their hearts. And there would be a new covenant that God would make with them, and he would take their sins away. Yes, Jesus, his blood on Calvary washed away our sin. So the gospel of Christ is there for them to receive it. Yes, all Israel can be saved. We need to make sure that we are spreading that gospel. It keeps reminding us. And as far as the gospel is concerned, today some of the Israelites are enemies of the gospel. But that's for the sake of the Gentiles then, and even now, more can come in, more can receive, more can become part of this family of God. Yes, it talks about those gifts and callings being irrevocable. That means that what God had promised through the covenant, he will fulfill it. He will fulfill what he said to them, just as he fulfills his promises to us. Yes, we need to think about that. And when you were reading that, Dr. Deb, other things were popping up in my mind about the mercy of God, you know, how merciful he has been to all of us. And for God has bound everyone over to disobedience so that he may have mercy upon them all. So God is merciful to whom he will be merciful to. He will give them that mercy. And we too must be able to continue to minister the gospel. Yes, minister the gospel of Jesus Christ. Yes, all Israel can be saved. I had some other thoughts about this, Dr. Deb, as it was going through. I think as he was going through the last verses of this chapter, as we call it a chapter, it's kind of like in my Bible it talks about a doxology. Paul had told them all of this. He reminded them of the covenant. Then he reminded them that God is way above our thoughts and our abilities. He said, what about the wisdom of God? We want wisdom, so we like it. We ask God for wisdom, and he'll give it to us. But who knows the depths of the riches of the wisdom that God has? And the knowledge that God has. Yes, Job had to learn that. God challenged him to let him know that he had knowledge and wisdom way beyond what Job. Job, you don't know what I can see the beginning from the end. You don't even know where the story ends. We don't know how this is going to play out in our lives, but we must be willing to be obedient to the trust that we have, that responsibility that Dr. Deb was talking about. We must move forward in that. Yes, God searches our hearts. Yes, he finds us out. He knows all about us. We can't understand the mind of God. Who can understand it? Who can tell God what to do? Y'all even try to tell God what to do. Sometimes people say, God, I need you to do this. Can you tell him what to do? You can request of him. You can ask him. You can petition him, but you can't tell him. You can't counsel God. God, you should do it like this. You should do it. No, you can't tell him how to do it. He listen. Who does God owe? That's what he said. Who has ever given to God that he should repay them? You can't give God enough for what he's done for you and me. We can't give him enough. We can't ask him to pay us. He's paid a price. But he so loved us that he gave his only begotten son. Whosoever should believe in him would not perish but have everlasting life. Listen, there's so much here. And so we have to realize that God created it all. Yes, he created it all. And from him and through him and for him are all things. Let me read that again in the NIV. And from him and through him and for him are all things. Hallelujah. It reminds me of the passage in Colossians chapter 1, beginning in verse 15. The Son is the image of the invisible God. The firstborn over all creation. For in him all things were created, things in the heaven and on the earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities, all things have been created through him and for him. Hallelujah. Listen to the contrast. There are things in heaven and things on earth. There are things that we can see and things we cannot see. There are thrones and powers or rulers and authorities. Some we see, some we cannot see. There is a world that we cannot see because we are not there yet. But we walk by faith, not by sight. We trust God and believe him. For faith is the evidence of things not yet seen. Yes, it's the substance of the things that we hope for. We hope to be with the Lord. We hope to be able to walk this life by faith. It is by faith that we receive the blessings that God has. Yes, we have been made for him. He created us in an image for himself. We are his in everything that he's created on the earth. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. As the last verse in Colossians that I want to read, 17, it says, he is before all things, and in him all things hold together. Let me say it another way. God holds everything together. Somebody ought to shout on it. God is holding all of us together in this thing. Listen. We can't do it, but by the power of God and by the power of his spirit, he holds all things together. To God be the glory forever and ever. Amen. Amen. Dr. Amen. Dev, I'll turn it to you. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Pastor Reggie, the only thing I can say is how great thou art. It reminds me how great thou art. This lesson reminds me of John 3:16, for God so loved the world. And what he was willing to do for all. The other thing it reminds me, as you looked at verse number 33, and I could just simply say amen, who can measure the wealth, the wisdom, and the knowledge of God? Who can understand his decisions or explain what he does? To God be the glory, and how great thou art. I serve a God, the God, that is bigger, greater, all-sufficient. I don't have to be worried about one single thing. And I know that my God can crush any of these little G-gods, this thing or that thing. I don't have to worry. And I'm like Paul here. I serve the God, the Almighty God. And there are some others on this line tonight. Know that the God you serve, that he's bigger than any problem, any situation, any circumstances, anything that is maybe happening. He is greater. So tonight, I don't just speak from being passionate. I don't just speak from an emotion. I know because I'm connected again to the true vine. I know that I am a branch that is connected to power. I know that I'm connected to a branch that has given me a new identity. I know that I'm connected, and I don't look down on anybody else because, as Paul reminded them, remember where you were. You were like them. So tonight, I echo with you what a doxology to end with, that everything comes from the Lord, and all things were made because of him, and we'll return to him. Praise the Lord forevermore. Amen. Thank you again. Back over to you, Pastor Reggie.
Amen. Amen.
Ooh, hallelujah. Amen. Praise be to our God. Hallelujah. Amen. We thank the Lord. Amen. We thank the Lord that we were lost in our sin. We didn't even know because we weren't the ones that got the law. We were not the Israelites or the Jews, but he saw fit to open the door to let us in. He opened it up to us. And we are grafted into that vine. Listen, we are grafted into the power of God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. And like you say, it's not just about emotions, it's about faith and believing. Faith being substance of things hoped for, evidence of things not yet seen. There's an invisible world. I'm reminded, hallelujah, of the Old Testament story about the prophet and his servant. And the army had came and surrounded him. Y'all know the story.
Yes.
I don't want to get too detailed in it.
Yes.
But he kept thinking about it. You know, and he went out and looked out there. He woke up that morning, went out there. I'm going to make it short. He went out there, and he saw all the army surrounding him. There was 100,000 of them. It's just him and the prophet. Just two of them. And he was going by what he saw. But Elijah said, wait, Lord, open his eyes that he might see what he don't see. We're not talking about seeing with your eyes. See, we want to always see with our eyes, but in this case, God had to open his eyes that he might see. God has to open the eyes of Israel that they might see those that reject him. He has to open the eyes of the unbeliever that they might see who God is, who Christ is to them. Open my eyes, Lord, that I might see that they that be with us are greater than those that be with them. We got the victory over the enemy. We got the victory over our circumstances. We got the victory over our personal situations, our health situations. Whatever it is, we are connected to the vine. We're connected to the power source. We are overcomers. We are overcomers through him that loved us. I don't want to get into that. I just want us to have faith. I just heard another message about faith last night that my mother sent me. So I'm on that faith thing too, Dr. Dale. We got to have faith to believe him. It is by faith that we are saved. By grace, we are saved through our faith. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. And so we must have that faith to please him, that he works on our behalf. We are made for him. We are his. And because we are his, he's responsible for us. But we're responsible to do his work for him, to do his will. Amen. I'm going to stop right there. Deacon Connor, I'm going to return it back to you, my brother. God bless the saints on the line, and may God add a blessing to the lesson tonight. Are there any comments? I guess I'll turn it over to you, Deacon Connor, to see if there's comments to be made.
Pastor Reggie, could you talk to that whole idea, and it's just dropped in my spirit, the spirit of adoption. Now that I'm grafted in, I have a new identity that I see right here in this chapter. I know we looked at it in Romans chapter 8, verse 15, as it talks about the spirit of adoption. But I see it again here, is that we have been adopted. We have been grafted in. We experience the blessings, the same blessings as the people of Israel because of our faith, because of our trusting in him. Again, I think this lesson helps us to see the spirit. For me, I see, again, this spirit of adoption. I'm no longer seen as the outsider. I'm not a stepchild. I don't have to go through these rituals or the traditions or keeping the law. I'm a part of God. I get the full blessings. I get the full, I got the full benefits of this package.
Yeah.
Not because, even though I'm a Gentile, I'm considered on that side. I have been grafted in, and I got the full benefits. I got the full rights. I got the full privileges that I can go before the throne of grace, and I can say, Abba Father.
Wow, Dr. Dev. You connected that, Dr. Dev. Look at that. We have been grafted in, and we are the same as the other branches that's connected to the root. Come on, somebody. We are the same as though we connected to the same source. That is powerful, Dr. Dad. Thank you for that revelation. We are connected. We've been adopted, and there's power in adoption. We don't take adoption lightly. When you adopt a child, that's your child. As a matter of fact, that's your legal child. You've been, by law, you were declared a child. You got more rights in some cases as a natural child.
Yes, sir.
Woo! We have been connected. We're not to take that for granted and not to push Israel off to the side, but we need to know that we are special and we are in the family and we are his children. Thank you, Dr. Dale. Hallelujah. That's something. I got to look work on that some more. Woo! Hallelujah. I'm going to leave y'all alone. Let me let it go. if I can let it go, and Dr. Deb, if you can let it go, we're going to give it to Deacon Connor. Hallelujah.
We're going to give it to Deacon Connor because there's so much more in there.
Amen. My new identity.
Amen.
Yeah.
I got a new name. It's written in glory, and it's mine. I got a new identity. Talk, Dr. Dale. Okay, we're going to leave it alone. We're going to leave it alone, Deacon Connor. I'm sorry.
Deacon Connor.
All right. Another powerful walk in the Word by the dynamic duo. Amen. Who can add to that? Who can give comments? I think the questions have been answered. I just want to know what y'all think of this walk in the Word tonight. It was powerful. Amen. And anyone? Certainly want to thank Dr. Deb and Pastor Kuiper, the professor, for this wonderful walk in the Word this evening. It was a joy. Amen. And a good learning experience as well. Amen. So we'll move on this evening to praise reports. Today is Tuesday. What has happened since Sunday that we want to thank God for? Y'all woke up.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Amen. Deacon Connor, I'm going to slip this in, and I know others are preparing themselves for words of encouragement tonight for Pastor Reggie. I certainly want to thank him for encouraging me to stay with reading daily Romans. He's encouraging me to read it. He's encouraging me to see more that's there and understanding the scriptures as Paul writes to this church and as he writes to us in 2024. A quick reminder, next Tuesday we will be downtown for a in-person session. We will be in Romans chapter 12, if the Lord says so. We may be able to do 12 and 13, but we certainly want to let everyone know. You still will be able to call in. You'll be able to call in. We're just having our Bible study there. We are looking forward to as many to attend. If you don't mind, let me know if you're coming. We are already making preparations down at the ministry. So that if possible, we may need a breakout session. We have the rooms available for that. But want everybody to know you are invited to join with us. You're invited to bring a friend with you as well as we look at Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12 on next week, and we are praying for Pastor Reggie and others that will come and to share with us on next Tuesday. So we look forward to that. Another thing is, don't forget, this coming Sunday, the fifth Sunday, we will be open downtown as well. We will still do our 10 o'clock. Those who join us online at 10, you will still be able to connect with us. We are going to send you the call-in number. It's going to be a different number to call in at 10. We're going to have partner with Pastor Young, Pastor Troy Young, and Hope for Today Ministries. We will have a 10 o'clock. They'll have Sunday school at 10. And then at 11, we will go into service there. And after that, we will have a sit-down meal with them. So that's this coming Sunday, the fifth Sunday downtown. And next Tuesday, we will also be downtown for our Tuesday Walk in the Word as we continue through the book of Romans. If you have any questions, please give me a call, and we'll be glad to. So we are looking for that. So to me, that is a praise report, a brag on God report that he has taken us through and gotten us where we are and the ability to be able to do a face-to-face on next week. Thank you. Thank you, Deacon Carter. That's my praise report for tonight.
Amen. 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 Looking forward. Anybody else? Anyone? All right, so we'll move on. We'll move on to the prayer list. Additions to the prayer list this evening. Amen. I guess everybody's doing well and good. I know I'm pretty sure we already got Sister Ruby, Sunshine Dudley, brother on the prayer list.
Shakita Maxwell and family, please.
Amen. All right.
And Ruby C. Ruby Clayton as well. And
okay.
Richard Hunt and Lavinia Stallworth Sinclair and Helen Jones.
All right.
Chiquita Anderson is hospitalized in Phoenix, Alabama, having surgery, and her husband is in Dublin. He is at the hospital in Dublin. Have prayer for them. I appreciate it. Thank you.
All right.
Okay.
Okay. Anyone else? Dr. Singleton? Scripture, please.
Amen. Our scripture tonight comes from Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8, as we speak of God's love for us. Beginning with verse 31. What can we say about all this? If God is on our side, can anyone be against us? God did not keep back his own son, but he gave him for us. If God did this, won't he freely give us everything else? If God says his chosen ones are acceptable to him, can anyone bring charges against them? Or can anyone condemn them? No, indeed. Christ died and was raised to life, and now he is at God's right hand speaking to him for us. Can anything separate us from the love of Christ? Can trouble, suffering, hard times, hunger, nakedness, or danger and death? It is exactly as the scriptures say, for you we face death all day long. We are like sheep on their way to be butchered. In everything, verse 37, in everything, we have won more than a victory because of Christ who loves us. I am sure that nothing can separate us from God's love, not life or death, not angels or spirits, not the present or the future, and not powers above or powers below. Nothing in all creation can separate us from God's love for us in Christ Jesus, our Lord. We have won, you all, more than a victory. We are more than conquerors. And I want us to know on this line that God loves us. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Yes, yes.
Our Father, our precious Father, coming to you tonight asking your forgiveness for my many sins. We come thanking you, Lord, for your man, Pastor Kiefer, who has spread your word.
Yes.
We come thanking you for Dr. Deborah, who has, oh, also spread your word. We come this evening glad to be in the number one more time. We come lifting up these, your people. I come lifting up Ruby Clayton tonight. I come lifting up her health. I come lifting up Ruby D tonight. I come lifting up her health. And I come lifting up Jig tonight. I come lifting up his health. Lord, we lift up Richard Hunt tonight. We're asking you for healing for Brother Richard, that you would clear up pneumonia in his lungs. So we ask that you would touch his body with healing and clear up all types of infection. We lift up Lavinia Stallworth Sinclair. We come thanking you that she was able to be released from the hospital, but we lift her up, Lord. We lift up Shakita Maxwell.
We
lift up all her family, each one of her children, each of her siblings. We lift them up right now. We lift up her mother, her father. We lift them up to you, Jesus. We lift up Helen Jones, who's still hospitalized, but we lift her up as well. We lift up Shakita Anderson. We lift her up as she's hospitalized as well. We lift up her husband, who's also hospitalized. We lift up healing upon all these names that have been called out. If it be your will, we're going to lift them up to you, Jesus, and claim the victory over their lives. We thank you for victory. We thank you for healing. We thank you for just moving right now in the name of Jesus. We thank you right now, Lord. And we give you all the praise and all the glory in Jesus' name. Amen.
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 Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. To all of you, we are so grateful to have you on the line this evening. Those who are listeners, those who have given their great comments, we want to especially thank our Walk in the Word leader tonight, the dynamic duo, Pastor Kuiper and Dr. Depp, we thank you so much for that wonderful walk in the Word. So, until we meet again, y'all be kind to one another. Love one another. And I love you whether you like it or not. Good night.
Amen.
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 Good night.
God bless you, brother.
God bless the saints.
Good night.
Good night.
Good night.
Good night. Thank you. Thank you. Good night, Mama. Good night, Maddie. Good night, Aurelia.
Good night, Sister Ruby.
Good night.
Good night, y'all.
How's Mr. Freddie, Maddie?
Mr. Freddie, he doing good. I did medicine, get him to go. We did go to urgent care, so they gave him some medication. They wouldn't give him shot in the knee because by him being a diabetic and his kidneys and stuff, so the doctor told me that they couldn't do that, but they did give him some medicine there, and they gave him some medicine to bring home.
Okay. All right, then. I'll talk to you later.
Okay. Thank you for that.
Bye-bye.